Sportscast since 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, Periscope, iTunes, and YouTube. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on the sportscast.net, sportscast.net. This episode is brought to you by InstaBible app. Read your Bible on your iPhone app, especially on the iPhone 11. The Philadelphia Eagles were able to go into Lambeau Field on Thursday Night Football and upset the Green Bay Packers 34-27 to move to a 2-2 on the season. Green Bay, meanwhile, suffered their first loss of the season, moving to 3-1 on the year. Not too bad. Jeff Farrer, welcome to the Sportscast.
Thanks a lot, Santiago. Appreciate you having me.
No problem. Now, obviously, the Packers were tested. The Eagles have been tested already, but the Packers were tested. New coach. Aaron Rodgers looked comfortable. What did you get out of this game?
I thought the game really came down to the Eagles were a little bit more clutch than the Packers. The Packers had their opportunities late in the game to tie it and then even maybe potentially take the lead, you know, if they had scored in both red zone trips. But the one thing that, like, you don't want to discredit the Eagles, because I thought the Eagles played a pretty good game. And what impressed me was actually the Eagles' running game. I mean, their offensive line, man. Their offensive line played a really good game. So that was impressive to me. From the Packers' standpoint, I understand that you want to try to keep some level of balance on offense. But it just felt as though every first down they ran the ball and it wasn't working and it was predictable. So it felt as though every second down, the Packers, it was either 2nd and 8 or 2nd and 10 or 2nd and 13. So you were putting yourself behind the chains a lot. And even though Aaron Rodgers is as good as it gets and Adams was awesome until he went out, that's just asking a lot to constantly be 2nd and long.
Yes, this game was close right until the final moments as Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay offense was knocking on the door of the goal line in hopes of forcing overtime with 28 seconds to play. The opponent's football wasn't in the cards for the cheesesteaks and cheeseheads. However, as Rodgers' pass to Marquez Valdes-Scantling was tipped and picked off in the end zone. How do you think Green Bay did in that last play?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, everyone focuses on the last play, but I think it's funny because I just sat here and said they probably ran the ball too much on first down, right? But when they were getting down to the red zone, they weren't running the ball at all. Now, obviously, I'm not saying they should have run the ball in the last play, but when you get into the red zone, I think you have to have some level of balance, at least have a threat to run. And, you know, the other thing is, as great as the Packers usually are up front, losing Bulaga was kind of a big deal there, and I think that they missed his presence a little bit. And the last two trips for the Packers felt a little bit ugly. You know, once they got inside the 10, they struggled. It just felt out of sync.
Yeah, it's something that we're definitely looking at. Green Bay has a new coaching system, and of course the Eagles are using the same coaching system. Wentz looks healthy. How do you look at him so far?
And I thought Wentz made some plays, and I like how he looks, but at the same time, they scored 34 points, and he only had 160 yards. So the guys around him are helping him a lot. Like I said, the offensive line played great. The running game was pretty good. You know, special teams made a couple plays. So I went into the year saying that I thought Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate. I still feel that way. But the fact that the Eagles can win a tough road game when Wentz throws for 160 yards, that's impressive. I mean, I wouldn't bank on being able to do that all the time. But if you can win a game when your quarterback, you know, produces at that level, I think that's a pretty good sign that you have a good team and a balanced team.
Packers' next three games are Cowboys, Detroit Lions, and the Oakland Raiders. I can see them beat the Raiders, but how about with the Cowboys and Lions?
They can play with any of those teams. If there's one thing that I think has been proven true over and over again, is that we probably try to determine who the great, good, average, and bad teams are way too early in the season. So, I mean, yeah, I like how the Cowboys have looked, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Packers beat them. You know, and the Lions are, you know, they're undefeated right now. They're 2-0-1, but I'm not.
We'll see how they do against the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're in for a rough day, but I still am not going to sit here and say, oh, the Packers aren't going to beat the Lions. You know, and that's not to discredit the Lions either, but it's a long season.
It
and
is.
Matchups matter, you know. And, I mean, heck, even the Raiders, I mean, I tend to agree with you. I think the Packers would beat the Raiders, but the Raiders definitely are not the pushover that they've been in years past. Even though they've lost a couple games here, they're more competitive this year than what they've been. So, now, I guess last week against the Vikings isn't a very good indicator of that because they got the doors blown off. But I don't think that's going to be the norm, is what I'm saying.
Jets next three games. I mean, Eagles next three games are the Jets, Minnesota Vikings, and Dallas Cowboys. Kind of similar to the Packers next three games, but how do you see that for the Eagles?
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles are going to be in it every week. The Eagles coached really well. They have balance. I think maybe we made two. The Eagles lost that game to Detroit that maybe they shouldn't have, but you know, they were missing both DeSean Jackson and Ashlon Jeffrey. That's difficult. If you look across the NFL and you take away the top two receivers from any team, they're going to feel it. It's going to be difficult to overcome that. So maybe the Eagles should have beat the Lions, especially since it was in Philly. But I also think we're overreacting to one game a little too much. So I think the Eagles are going to be in it every week. The Vikings game, that'll be a great game. Is that in Minnesota or in Philly?
That is in Minnesota. It is in Minnesota. So the Dome.
And the Vikings defense tends to play a lot better at home. So that'll be a tough game. You know, and Dalvin Cook looks to be the whole way back. He looks great. But, you know, truth be told, I still don't trust Kirk Cousins. That's just my only hold up with the Vikings. I don't see it with him against quality teams. But yeah, I mean, I think the Eagles are in it for the long haul, man. I mean, for me personally, I kind of felt that the AFC comes down to the Chiefs and Patriots with a slight lean towards the Patriots. And I think the Eagles could get back to the Super Bowl again. I really do.
NFC is wide open, isn't it?
It is, and I'll tell you what, the Saints, with Drew Brees getting hurt, I thought the Saints might be in trouble, but they went into Seattle and, like, put a hurting on the Seahawks in Seattle. So, you know, if the Saints can get by and survive without Brees, they're going to be right there in the end. The Rams are going to be right there. The Rams have a good case for the most loaded roster in the NFC if you just look at all the individual talents they have. You know, so the NFC is wide open, but at the same time, I think the Eagles, Rams, Saints are all going to separate themselves a little bit. And the Cowboys and Packers, they both have a lot of talent, and we'll just see how their seasons unfold.
Let's look at the Chiefs. Chiefs and Ravens, big game of the weekend. Everyone was eyeing that game, high-scoring match. The fourth down play was designed to go left, yet there was Patrick Mahomes scrambling to his right with a phalanx of Ravens in pursuit. His eyes trained on Tyreek Hill deep downfield. Mahomes had an audacious throw. Hill made an incredible catch. The Chiefs proceeded to score a Vine touchdown on a pass to Damian Williams on other fourth down play to force overtime. Then they watched as Harrison Butker booted a 36-yard field goal, atoning for a miss as the time expired, and their maligned defense stuffed Baltimore to escape with a 27-24 victory Sunday. It was a nail cruncher, as people predicted.
So, that game, you just gave the recap from 2018.
Oh, no. Oh, crap. No, my bad. Okay. Okay. What happened this past weekend?
Yeah. So, the 2018 game was a great close game. I mean, this past weekend, I think Lamar Jackson kind of came back down to earth. So, I mean, the Chiefs really controlled the game from the second quarter on, you know. So the Chiefs had a 17-point lead going into the fourth quarter. They were winning 30-13. And in the fourth quarter, the Ravens tried to make a game of it. And, you know, they came back. But, you know, Lamar Jackson had one really nice throw down the sideline to Hollywood Brown. But his next two biggest plays were just desperation heaves. And it kept them in the game. You know, it kept them in the game, but I think the Chiefs controlled the game. Their offense was too much for the Ravens' defense, and every time the Ravens' defense got a little bit of momentum, Mahomes found Kelce or Shady McCoy made a play. And, you know, really, Lamar Jackson, he still has a ways to go as a passer. You know, I just don't know how else to say. He still makes plays with his leg. But the Chiefs dared him to throw deep, and he struggled. You know, he missed on the deep ball a lot. Most of the plays that he made were with his legs. And the Chiefs did kind of, the defense really didn't do a good job of closing the door at the end of the game. But, you know, the final score looked a lot closer than what that game actually was. You know, the Chiefs had a 17-point lead, and they didn't do a good job of, like, really opening, you know, like, putting that final score to make it a blowout. And the Ravens did do a good job of fighting back. But at the end of the day, I just don't think the Ravens are in the same class as the Chiefs are right now. And I think the biggest difference is that Lamar Jackson he's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not in that elite class right now.
I apologize to the audience. Kansas City beat the Ravens 33-28. Just like Jeff said, it was pretty much Kansas City all the way. Baltimore tried to come back towards the end, but the Chiefs won it after all. Patrick Mahomes had 374 yards. Rushing Darrell Williams had 62. LeSean McCoy, 54. How's he doing so far with Kansas City?
McCoy looks good. Now, his ankle's been a problem, so he left the game early against Baltimore, but he's expected to play this week against Detroit. Week one, I thought Shady McCoy looked really quick. He looked great. Week two, you could tell, you know, he wasn't quite right. And then week three, up until he went out, I thought he looked really good. He had a couple nice runs, had the two touchdowns. But to me, the bigger story is that Darrell Williams was an undrafted free agent that the Chiefs picked up last year. And every time they give him an opportunity, he makes the most of it. So he had a 41-yard run on the last drive of the game. And then he also caught the screen pass on the very last play to ice the game. So Shady McCoy's been getting the attention, and he's been doing a good job. But don't be surprised if Darrell Williams ends up being the lead back in Kansas City in the near future.
Receiving-wise, Tyreek Hill is out as an injury. Mecole Hardman stepped in, gave him 97 yards, and Travis Kelce, of course, tight end, 89. Sammy Watkins, 64. How has Hardman done so far to cover Hill's absence?
So Hardman, he's not Tyreek Hill, obviously. You know, he's a rookie. He's not as polished as Hill is right now. But Hardman is giving him the big play ability. So he had a 40-plus yard touchdown against the Raiders. He had a 75-yard touchdown against the Raiders that got called back because of holding. And then this week he has the 83-yard touchdown against the Ravens. So although I still think the Chiefs' offense will hit another level when Tyreek Hill gets back, Hardman is doing a great job of stretching the field. And with Hill out, they need somebody to do that. DeMarcus Robinson has really stepped up. Kelce is still Kelce, you know.
The best tight end in the game right now.
Yeah, I mean, he really is. And he creates matchup problems every single week. You can't cover him with a linebacker. You can't cover him with a safety. Most teams don't have enough quality corners to put a corner on him and still be able to cover the other wide receivers. So I think it's really been a group effort to make up for the loss of Tyreek Hill. And, I've seen people out there saying they don't miss Hill, but I disagree with that.
Wow. Who's saying that?
Yeah. We live in an instant gratification society, so as soon as the Chiefs' offense has a couple good games without him, people are ready to trade Hill. I don't buy into any of that, though. When Tyreek Hill comes back, the Chiefs' offense is going to be even better.
Very explosive player. Probably the fastest player in the NFL when it comes to receiving. Next up for Kansas City is Detroit going into the Motor City. Detroit's also undefeated, but that's not saying much. What are your thoughts about this upcoming game?
You can't fault Detroit for winning games that they're supposed to win. They won a game against the Chargers 13-10. That was really ugly. And again, you never fault a team for winning, but you're not going to be able to play that type of game against the Chiefs. You're going to have to score to keep up with the Chiefs. So, and then they tied the Cardinals, and they beat the Eagles. I just don't think the Lions have faced anybody with the firepower that the Chiefs have. And I think it's going to be a rough week for Detroit. I don't think they're going to get blown out, but I think the Chiefs will win by 10 points. I think the Chiefs will handle their business. And Detroit's heading in the right direction. They're getting better. Their defense is quality. They do have some playmakers on offense, but I don't think they're in that upper echelon of teams right now.
Matt Patricia will be tested. Colts they have after that the following week, and then the Texans. Not the easiest schedule, but definitely doable for the Chiefs.
It's not an easy schedule by any means, but they play both those games in Kansas City. So I think the Chiefs will be, they're going to be favored in both those games. And that Colts game is a prime time game. So if you look at what the Chiefs have done in prime time in Kansas City in recent years, with the exception of the game they choked away against the Chargers on Thursday Night Football, they've been really tough. So if those games were road games, I think the Chiefs would be in a tight spot. But playing in Kansas City, they're gonna take care of business most weeks.
Tough place to play. Let's look at NFL scores. Minnesota defeated Oakland 34-14. Green Bay, of course, defeated Denver 27-16 this past weekend. Houston defeated the Chargers 27-20 in L.A. What does that tell you about the Chargers?
The Chargers, they're beat up for one. It seems like every year we say this, but they just have a ton of injuries. I don't know what. I don't know if it's bad luck, bad training. I don't want to. You can't really speculate, but it just seems like year in and year out they have a lot of injuries. Their defense is loaded. Their defense has talent everywhere. On offense, it feels as though the offensive line is sabotaging what they're trying to do. Rivers is getting hit too much, and you just can't go into every week overmatched up front. And in that game against the Texans, the Texans defense is good for one, so let's make sure I say that. And the Texans are a good team, but it just feels as though Chargers don't have a great home field advantage. They're playing in that soccer fortress. They just don't take care of their home field very well. So the Texans played a good game. The Chargers just still can't get it together. But at the end of the day, I think the Chargers are all up front on offense. They just continue to have problems with their offensive line.
The Chargers don't play Kansas City till November, so hopefully the Chargers will be prepped up for that. Another big game was the Giants defeated Tampa Bay, the first game for Daniel Jones. What are your expectations for the Giants? Are they going to be on a winning slump. I mean, winning uphill, winning slope.
I like how Daniel Jones looked, and what I really found impressive is that he took a beating, but he still kept coming. You know, he did what he had to do to get a win. He got sacked. I saw Shaq Barrett had 3 sacks by himself. And he's been great for Tampa Bay. Dan Jones looked good to me, and you know, it's always too early to say, is he going to be great? Is he going to be good? Whatever. But I thought he did what he had to do to win. Now, I still don't think the Giants are going to be good, and now that Saquon Barkley's hurt, that's really, you know, I saw he could miss anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks. That's going to hurt him, you know, because Barkley's just a special talent. You know, he's just a special, irreplaceable talent. But the Giants have to feel good about what they saw from Jones, and you have to think he's only going to grow from here. You know, he's just going to get better and better as time goes. And from the Bucs' perspective, I don't know.
James Winston had a good game with Mike Evans. I mean, they had some high points.
Yeah. And Winston did have a nice game, but I guess my concern with him is this is the story with him. He doesn't string good games together. So is he going to have another good game next week? Is he going to be able to play a couple quality games in a row? We just haven't seen that from him. And maybe Bruce Arians can be the guy to get him fixed. But for me, to buy in the Jameis Winston, I need to see a couple good games in a row where he's not turning the ball over left and right.
Mason Rudolph went into San Francisco, was not able to win against San Francisco. San Francisco came on winning 24-20. I mean, our Pittsburgh's future looks bleak with Mason.
Again, Mason's young, first career start. You know, what stood out to me was the Niners had 5 turnovers, and I believe that 3 of them were inside the red zone. So Mason Rudolph didn't play well, but I just think the bigger problem for Pittsburgh, I think the 2 biggest problems for them is, 1, the defense still just gives up a ton of yards. The Niners move the ball up and down the field, and 2 of their fumbles were non-forced fumbles. 1 was a bad snap, and another was a snap that bounced off a guy that was going in motion. So it's not as though the Steelers' defense even forced those turnovers. So the Steelers' defense is still a problem. And on offense, other than Juju Smith-Schuster, who on the Steelers' offense scares you? You know, James Conner, I saw, is the easiest tackle in the NFL among running backs. He breaks the least number of tackles in the entire NFL. So you're not getting much from him. Vance McDonald makes 1 highlight play every 3 weeks, but in between that doesn't do a whole lot. And you have a bunch of athletic receivers that on paper should be good, but none of them are polished, and none of them are going to consistently be good. So the entire offense is Juju Smith-Schuster trying to make miracle plays, which he did make. You know, he had the 76-yard touchdown, but other than that, what did the Steelers' offense do? So I do think the 49ers' defense has a lot of individual talent, so they deserve some credit, but I just don't think the Steelers' offense is very good, and the defense still gives up too many yards.
Steelers' next game is against the Bengals on Monday Night Football, primetime, May 15 on ESPN. Jeff, anything else before we head into game predictions?
I'm ready for predictions, man.
By the way, before we go there, Teddy Bridgewater, did he have a good performance?
He did enough to win. You know, I thought that was a great example of a team, the entire team stepping up with the backup in. I thought Bridgewater played well from what I saw, but that game was more about the Saints as a team are just a lot better than the Seahawks as a team.
overall, that system is really working well without Breeze. So if he's out, they're okay. But, of course, they would love to have him back. And hopefully soon. Let's get into game predictions. Let's go for Redskins at the Giants.
Man, you talk about an ugly game. You picked, like, the ugliest game on the entire schedule.
That's why I picked it.
Yeah, I mean, I will lean towards the Giants just because watching that game with the Redskins on Monday night, I mean, they're a mess. They're a mess, man. They really are. Now I know the Bears' defense is really good, but they made life too easy on Trubisky. You know, not to rehash that whole game, but if the Redskins were going to stand the chance, they should have tried to ugly up that game. So I think the Giants will win. I think it'll be close, you know, maybe by a field goal, but the Giants will win.
Cleveland at Baltimore.
Baltimore. I mean, I think Baltimore was overhyped, and they're not in the same class as, you know, the best teams in the AFC. But they are in that next group of really good teams that are continuing to grow. Cleveland, man, they just, again, another team that has a lot of individual talent. But Baker Mayfield has not lived up to all the offseason hype.
Is it him or is it other parts of the team?
It's a combination. It's some him. I'm not saying it's all his fault. It's
part of it's coaching.
It's him. Yeah, it's him. It's coaching. It's the offensive line. The offensive line in Cleveland stinks, and that doesn't help. But the defense was missing their top two corners, and they still played pretty well against a really good team. So I think the defense is good enough to win games, but the offense isn't. And they have all these individual talents, but they're just not playing well together. On the Baltimore side, their defense isn't as good as last year, but their offense has a lot more playmakers. And I just think Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews are going to be enough to make enough plays. And Mark Ingram's playing well. And Lamar will make a couple plays with his legs. I think it'll be a 27-20 type Baltimore win.
Yeah, it definitely Cleveland, kind of down about Cleveland, but still early. Hopefully they lead. They'll turn things around. They're calling this the AFC East Championship. Patriots at the Bills.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I think the Bills are going to win.
Me too.
And it's going to be ugly. It's going to be turnover filled. It's going to be a difficult game to watch at times, but the Bills' defense is legitimate. The Bills' offense at least has the ability to make a few plays. And historically, the Bills have held their own in Buffalo when they've played New England. So I think the Bills are going to do just enough to win a 17-13 game. And the Patriots are beat up on offense. Like, the Patriots, you know, they cut Antonio Brown. Edelman's beat up. They don't have Gronk anymore. And it's just going to be a raw emotion type game for the Bills. They're going to want to play well at home. And they're going to want to prove to people it's not a fluke that they're winning. So I think it's going to be a 17-13 win for the Bills.
We'll see what Josh Allen does. Seattle at Arizona.
I like Arizona, and they're a team that I'm not saying Arizona's a good team, but they've played everybody tough. You know, they tied the Lions. They played the Ravens really tough. I don't think the Cardinals are a horrible team. So playing at home, I think Seattle's getting by a little bit on their reputation. And I think with it being a division game, Arizona's going to win. Then it'll be like a 20-17 really ugly game.
Minnesota at Chicago.
Chicago. Minnesota plays a lot better at home. They had a nice win last week. And I think Chicago will just, if there's one thing Chicago's good at, they can win ugly. And They can run the ball a bit. Minnesota's defense plays a lot better in Minnesota. This is another one of those games that I don't think Trubisky's going to do a whole lot. I don't think Cousins is going to do a whole lot. And it's just going to be like a 17-14 type game. But you give the edge to the home team. The Bears will have a slight edge over the Vikings.
Jacksonville with Gardner Minshew heading to Denver.
This is a tough one.
You're telling me.
I think there's... Yeah, I mean, both of these teams have a lot of issues. Denver seems to be getting some... I think they're getting to a point where if they don't win a game soon, the team's going to start to not necessarily turn on the head coach, but I think things are going to get worse. Jacksonville played well their last game, but the whole Ramsey situation could hang over their head. So when I look at this game, I think it's two teams. You know, man, I didn't realize it until you brought it up, but there's a lot of ugly games this week.
Red zone is going to be interesting.
Yeah, I lean Denver just because Denver's played a lot of tough games, and they usually play a lot better at home. So I think Denver's going to get their first win, but it's going to come down to the very end. You know, it's going to be a lot like that Bears game where, you know, they'll win like 16-13. In very ugly fashion. But the red zone's going to be the difference because I do think with all the injuries in the Broncos secondary, I think the Jaguars are actually going to move the ball up and down the field. I just don't know that I trust them to score touchdowns when they get into the red zone.
We'll see what happens. No Jalen Ramsey as well, but we'll see what happens in that match. Cowboys head into the Superdome, New Orleans Saints.
Oh, man.
Another good game.
I think it really is. And if you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said the Cowboys will control the game and win. But the Saints looked really good against Seattle. Now, granted, I know Dallas is a lot better than Seattle. But playing in New Orleans, I think New Orleans will find a way to get it done. And now this game will be a little bit more high scoring because I think Dak has played better than I expected, and having a new offensive coordinator, I think, is just what he needed to pump a little ice water into his veins.
He's playing for a contract, too.
He is. He is playing for a contract. I'm going to say the Saints win 30-24, even though I don't feel great about that because the Cowboys' defense is loaded, but I think the Saints at home are a different type of animal. And I think it'll be 30-24. The Cowboys are driving late to try to win the game, but the Saints defense will get one stop that they really need at the end.
And finally, the Chiefs at Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm normally a little bit of a pessimist, and I worry about letdown games and all this, but this is Patrick Mahomes' first indoor game in his professional career.
Wow.
I think
that could be a good sign for him.
I think the Lions are in a little bit of trouble here because they'll slow down the Chiefs offense a little bit in spurts, but I think this is a game that Travis Kelce really has. He always plays well, but I think this is a game where Kelce might have two or three touchdowns. And here's my, if you want something bold, you know, I mentioned Darrell Williams earlier. I think this week, and it may not be like one gigantic play, but I think this is the week that the average fan learns about Darrell Williams.
I agree.
I think this is the week that we look back and say, yeah, people started to talk about Darrell a little bit, and I think Darrell is going to have a really big game. And maybe it's just scoring a couple touchdowns. Maybe it's, you know, a combination of running and receiving. But this is going to be the week that Darrell puts himself on the national map, not just the Kansas City Chiefs fans' map.
We'll see if Matt Patricia has given some phone calls to the Patriots and how to stop Kansas City.
Yeah, well, good luck, because the last time they played, the Chiefs scored 31.5 against the Patriots. So, it's the other side of the ball that the Chiefs have to worry about.
Exactly. Random question, who has played the best Spider-Man, the best yet? Tom Holland, which is the recent one. Maguire. Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield, who has played the best?
Tom all the way, man. I didn't think I would like it. Yeah, I didn't think I would like it. But after watching the movies, he's brilliant, man.
I have not watched him yet.
Oh, come on, man. How can you ask that question if you haven't watched him?
It's a poll, and obviously they're coming out with a new Spider-Man. They announced it. But I will watch it hopefully soon. So far, Tom Holland is winning 64% to Tobey Maguire 27, and Andrew Garden as a single digit of 9%. So, pretty.
Yeah, Tom all the way, man, all the way.
The Twitter followers are agreeing with Jeff Farr. Anyways, how can people reach you, Jeff, to talk to you about Matt Patricia?
Matt Patricia, man, just to be clear, I do like Matt Patricia because he uses the four-wheeler to go around training camp. So I do like the guy. But best way to follow along is at JT Fulver on Twitter. As always, mostly moderate to bad football takes, but really good barbecue recipes.
Can Matt Patricia be the best thing that came out of like the Bill Belichick tree?
I don't know, man. Too early to say.
It's not saying much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say he's great or bad either way yet. I think he has the Lions trending in the right direction. But I'm anxious to see what he does this week against the Chiefs.
Yeah, because typically the players or coaches that come out of New England don't do well afterwards.
Yeah, I think Belichick isn't really... Like, Andy Reid sets his guys up to be great after they leave, and they usually are. I don't know that Belichick takes that same teaching method. So
it's interesting, isn't it? Wow.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah,
and we'll see what happens with Jacoby Brissett. There's some promise there. I see some promise.
Yeah, I think he's good enough to win as long as the team around him's really good.
Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or on Twitter at thesportscast1. We'll be covering college football tomorrow. We could have Kailu tomorrow talking a little bit about Big 12. And, of course, NFL Sunday, as we realize in this show, it's going to be a big Sunday. So we'll definitely be eyeing some ugly games, but also some good games. Anyways, that's it with the Sportscast. Jeff, I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me.